Hi, this is Rabbi Jim Egolf. I really want to thank you so much for joining me this week. Well, in as much as I got last week's podcast out and we had a conversation about Reverend Warren, this week a couple of things have happened. First, he's adorning the cover of Time magazine, but also this past week he said something that, gosh, you know, the minute I feel like somebody actually gets it as a evangelical minister, then all of a sudden something is said that just makes you wonder. Well, we'll take a little bit of a look at that this week. We'll talk about the blessing of consistency and how that blessing is taught in our Torah portion and even applied to one of my former hobbies in life. If you want to contact me, please call me at 610-624-3441 or email me at R-A-V as in Victor, J-I-M, at AOL.com. Shalom. Save up my allowance to purchase all sorts of paraphernalia that might give me some extra advantage over the fish. They were crankbaits, sassy shad, mud bugs, jitterbugs, spinners that floated, spinners that sank, plastic worms. I can never figure out why they like the plastic worms, but they really do. You name it. At some point, I tried it. As I realized that I would probably never be a pro fisherman, yes, there are professional fishermen where I grew up, and they even have television programs such as Fishing with Bill Dance. I finally arrived at my ninth grade science class with Mr. Thompson at Monroe Junior High School. Mr. Thompson may have failed to impress upon me the importance of his particular class, but he did teach me one thing about statistics. He suggested that regardless of the various lures and baits one could use, the real key was to be out there and casting. Mr. Thompson figured that for every 100 casts he would make, he would get one bite. Thus, the issue was not about how flashy the lure might be or how expensive and devastated I would be when I lost a $5 lure, but how often you consistently tried to catch the fish and how many times you were willing to throw the bait out and bring it back to you in a consistent fashion. Consistency might be one of the lessons that would have helped my fishing career, and it is also one of the things I believe we draw from our Torah portion. Ray, the portion reads, "Behold, see, I have set before you this day blessing and curse." We are then instructed to choose blessings so that all might be well with us. In fact, the Gera Rebbe points out that the text reads to do the mitzvot that things are well with us. However, if, and the text is specific, saying if we turn to the curses, then we get to endure the consequences. From this difference in language, he concludes that the normal nature that the Torah tries to get the community to act with is to always do well, to do with blessing. And that when we don't, it is a break from our normal state, from our divine charge. Being consistent means being able to avert the curses because the choice we make must be for the best at all times. The issue of consistency drove me mad this week, though. As many of you might remember, last week I extolled the conversation sponsored by Reverend Rick Warren about the role of faith, failure, and belief in our upcoming elections. I thought that perhaps we were moving to a different conversation because this minister got it when it came to relating to other religions. This minister may have gotten it, but that we were going to be different. But that was kind of challenged this week. This week arrived and I felt this sense of whoops, because of some other statements made by Reverend Warren. While Pastor Warren has been one of the more enlightened leaders of the evangelical community, I can't help but wonder how much empathy he has when it comes down to really wanting to understand our community. It was reported this past week on BeliefNet.com, that's where it was reported, that the following words were written by Rick Warren. "I'm a pastor, not a prophet, so I would not predict how evangelicals are going to vote. I will tell you that they're not a monolith. That's a big myth. They're going to make up their minds based on the hierarchy of their values. For many evangelicals, of course, if they believe that life begins at conception, that's a deal breaker for a lot of people. If they think that life begins at conception, then that means that there are 40 million Americans who are not here because they were aborted, that could have voted. They would call that a Holocaust. And for them, it would be like I'm Jewish and a Holocaust denier running for office. I don't care how right he is on everything else. It's a deal breaker for me. I'm not going to vote for a Holocaust denier." There are moments when you want to believe that people are just having a bad day. But the comment by Reverend Warren goes deeper into a lack of understanding of the Jewish community by evangelicals. For Reverend Warren to draw a moral equivocation between the Holocaust and abortion does little except to create confusion and blur two distinct and different issues. Now, let's be fair. Evangelicals believe that life begins at conception. This is their right, as their faith teaches. And there seems to be frustration within their community over the ineffectiveness of their political backing to get anywhere on this issue. Evangelicals are not going to change their opinion. However, there are dangers to bolstering one's own moral absolutism with someone else's pain. When it comes to drawing a line between the Holocaust and abortion, this is where Reverend Warren demonstrates a lack of understanding that insults the Jewish community and our pain. First, Jews were targeted due to a racial myth perpetrated by the Nazis. To my knowledge, there has not been a targeted genocide committed against a particular racial, ethnic, or religious group with abortion as its key method. In fact, often it is the parents, people who would like to be parents, who have to make the decision to end a pregnancy. The Holocaust was carried out by ideologues who believed in their own, though twisted, moral absolutism. They thought that killing Jews was the best that could be done for us because we were alive, and since they could see nothing of benefit, it would be better if we were dead. Abortions in our country are almost never the result of state-sanctioned social planning. Another thing in this is that it seems that everyone wants to steal the word Holocaust to refer to the greatest moral issue that they stand against. This destroys the meaning of the word because everyone finds their Holocaust. When people allow this word to be used in any other context that be outside of pertaining to the genocide committed against the Jewish community of Europe, we begin to experience a problem. We began to understand this in the 1980s, at that particular time, we decided that because people were misusing the word Holocaust time after time after time, we decided to change it to a Hebrew word, the Shoah, because everybody was misusing the term. Nobody was going to steal Shoah from us. Last, Reverend Warren has been invited and accepted and spoke at our last URJ Biennial. and has shown several possible ways to live his gospel in a positive manner. It seems if Reverend Warren wants to demonstrate an attempt to understand the Jewish community, it is time to apologize for this snafu analogy and work on finding his own terminology, his own way to express his own theology regarding his own understanding of his issues. There are things we can share about how to foster closer community and how we reach out to others. However, there was for Reverend Warren only one Jesus with the status that he attributes to him on the cross. And for another religion to start referring to all their martyrs as Jesuses, Christians wouldn't appreciate that. I mean, can you imagine if Islamic fundamentalists decided to be referring to every martyr as a Jesus? Christians really wouldn't go for that, I don't think. On this 45th anniversary of Dr. Martin Luther King's speech in Washington, I was drawn to the words of his successor. Now, I got to tell you something. If you were going to follow Martin Luther King Jr. as the preacher at Ebenezer Baptist Church, I mean, forget filling shoes. You're filling canoes and boats and ocean liners. But anyway, this gentleman managed to do it. When I was in Atlanta, this gentleman spoke at an MLK Day, Memorial Day, and he told the story of a rabbi whose student entered into his office and proclaimed, "Master, I love you." The rabbi looked at his student and said, "The fact that you would say that causes me great pain." The student was taken aback and continued to plead, but Master, I have great..." No. The rabbi stopped him and asked, "If you don't know what hurts me, how can you love me? If you don't know what hurts me, how can you love me?" Look, I get that for the evangelical community, we're going to have a difference of opinion and we're not going to agree on this one. I also understand that for many in Reverend Warren's community, the issue of abortion is one that causes them pain. I think it causes everyone pain, but for them, it carries other connotations. My message to Reverend Warren is, please own your pain and don't try to make it correspond to that of the Jewish communities. If we want to become comfortable, then we have to find a consistent and respectful relationship. We have to find a way to understand each other and understand what is normal within that relationship. We know that we can misunderstand each other all too often. As a country and a culture, we have to stop believing that because we know the word for a pain, a hurt, a failure, or a success, that we can liken it to another group's experience without their acknowledgement and agreement that we really, really do share the same experience. Shabbat Shalom.